Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 480, the not box office report for the week ending May 26th, 2019. It's Memorial Day weekend.
It is Memorial Day weekend.
Whatever you do, don't celebrate it.
Oh.
Somebody will get mad at you.
Oh.
You got to commemorate it, honor it.
Just don't celebrate.
Don't celebrate.
I'll take the day off work.
Like, yes, if anybody sees you having fun, they will quickly remind you. Just
kick over your barbecue pit and run away.
Why don't you honor that?
That's I am by eating happens. This
delicious cheeseburger.
Yeah.
It's like Facebook every
oh, it never fails.
It's always the day everybody's like, "Hey, I'm going to be the one that points out.
Yeah,
I'm the first one that's ever thought of this, and I will change
Show
nothing."
Show me some respect.
But I get an erection when I get to be morally superior to people, so
I can't wait.
Hooray for me. Yeah.
It's the only time I get one these days.
Yeah, it happens as you get older.
Not me.
Oh,
yeah,
you were speaking in character.
Yes, not me.
Oh, gotcha.
No, the wind blows on me funny.
Glad to hear the sanctity of your erection is in
totally in
full
effect.
Yes. And we're off to a great start. These are the days when you really miss Dan.
Do we?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I'm talking about your... So, yeah, I totally miss
I'll talk
Dan.
I'll about it for the next hour and a half.
I have no doubt. Yet even more reasons to miss Dan.
It's seen some stuff.
Yeah.
I was going to say, but, you know.
Kevin's going to have a lot of fun with this.
Oh, yes. He's like,
this is what you get.
This is how it starts. Yeah. This is how we're starting. Oh, my
word.
We're
not even at 2 minutes.
I know. Neither was his.
Nope.
So,
well, I was young. I didn't know what I was doing with it, you know.
So enough of that. Let's go around the table.
Get excited and it throws up.
And everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Brad.
This is Joe.
And this is Tom. Kevin has taken the week off for travel.
Well,
who can I can't cast aspersions.
I can.
I'm always gallivanting yeah. around. So
I'm always here.
I'll be here next week, but the following week I'll be in Mexico.
Ooh.
So,
to do it remotely.
We're going to. I'm
going
to bring a mic. For real. I'm going to bring a mic, and we'll tease this. I'm not going to give it away, but we'll tease this. Our Godzilla episode lined up something very, very special.
Ooh.
Yeah. Very big.
Yep.
And we have a very narrow window of when we can achieve it. So our Godzilla episode will be a little late.
Yep.
But it will be worth the wait, I promise you. It will be our biggest, coolest episode ever.
Wow. I would agree.
Yeah,
it's gonna be pretty awesome.
And I don't throw words around like that lightly.
No.
So as long as everything pans out, and at the moment we're
good to
like
go.
95% confirmed. So
okay.
Fingers crossed. And if it doesn't happen, I will circle back around and let you know
right
what happened.
Yes.
So you know what you missed out on.
It's not like your typical maybe like other podcasts where they hype up an episode and then it doesn't happen. There's no explanation whatsoever.
Does that happen a lot?
It happens occasionally.
Yeah.
We're just like, we've got this big episode and then it doesn't happen.
Gotcha.
There's no explanation as to why it didn't happen.
Well, I'm wouldn't incredibly have promised intrigued.
I wouldn't have promised people.
That's true.
If I had known we could do that.
You can do that.
Oh, yeah. Well, son of a bitch. Okay, well, lesson learned. So.
Yeah, we'll get you there.
And when we have our 480 second, whatever that doubles to be. then we'll.
There you go. Oh, yeah.
Then if I screw it up,
we'll let you know.
Yeah.
You think we're going to get to 1,200 episodes?
I don't know. Did you think we'd get to
500? No, I didn't think I'd get to 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so now it's just kind of part of your life.
It
you
is
know?
Part of my life. Yeah.
Like, you just do it. You just get up every day.
Somebody
you know?
Asked me about the movie. Like, why are you seeing that movie? I was like, I got to do a podcast on it.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, okay.
Yeah. It's just, yeah. It just becomes habit.
Like, movies that I don't want to see.
Yeah. But I will also say, I bet you over the years there have been movies you didn't want to see.
That's true.
That you were really glad you did. Like, yeah. It's not a movie you would have ever chosen to see.
I think most recently that was A Star Is Born. I would have never seen that movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Ever.
And that movie was great.
Yeah, it was. Loved it. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, getting out in front of the box office, I don't even know where it landed this week, but I went and saw Booksmart.
Oh, I'm so pissed that I missed that this week.
Holy crap.
Yeah, I heard it was really... That's the Olivia Wilde one, right?
Yeah.
It was nothing but good things.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's what I can
Such
hear.
A good movie. Like, I'm going to say something. I don't know if in, you know, 480 episodes I've ever said before, like, I'm going to go see it again.
Oh, really?
Whoa. Yeah, and because I went by myself, and I was just watching. I'm like, oh, Crystal would love this.
Yeah.
And I want to see it again, too, so that kills two birds with one stone, and you know how much I love dead birds.
I do. I do. And throwing stones.
And, right, yeah. Totally, yeah. And it's just unfortunate because I'm a really bad thrower. And so
can't say the word.
I can't even hit a bird. So I love throwing stones. I love dead birds, but I can't get the two to merge.
Well, you're in luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, Booksmart was like, holy crap, what a great movie.
How was it? Was it well directed?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Like, it's very stylized
in
a good way. And it's like, and to be like, that's her first directorial effort.
Yeah.
And to see that much confidence as a director, just like right out of the gate, was like, yeah, you don't get that very often.
No, you don't.
Like, I'm very interested to see what her next movie is, to see, like, a lot of times people kind of have that one story that really resonates and they kind of exactly know how to make it. And then the next one is just kind of like, but
work
now for what?
Hire, right.
Yeah. And I'm really interested to see if she's got more in her.
Yeah.
Because that was really good. I was also thinking that, like, you don't, the premise of the movie, it gets a lot of comparisons to Superbad, and that's fair.
It's even got his sister in it. Jonah Hill's sister is one of the.
Oh, is she?
That, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which do you know which
the bigger one?
Oh, like she's one of the. Oh, that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, the main character. Yeah.
Her last name is like Beanstein or something.
Her
like
first
that.
Name. Beanie Feldstein is
okay.
That's Jonah Hill's real last.
Oh,
name.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't realize that they were related at all. But
she's in Lady Bird too.
Yeah, I knew she was in Lady Bird, but I didn't
sequel to that.
Is it a sequel? No, I don't think so.
Lady Bird 2, yeah.
Oh, no. Lady Bird also. Sorry.
But she just kills it. I mean, and they both do. Both of the main
I really
girls
liked
too.
Her in Lady Bird, too.
Yeah. And
also, that other girl Lady was Bird on. Also. She was Lady Bird as well.
Yeah.
She was on Justified. Like,
okay.
She was a recurring character on that show, and she was really good on that show.
Yeah.
As a little, like, she wasn't, I mean, she was probably 12, 13 on that show, and she was fantastic on that show. And then she kind of, you see her pop up in like other stuff, but I've heard she's fantastic in this as well.
I mean, in this movie, in 10 years, people are going to look back on it like they look back on like Dazed and Confused.
Did you see Edge of 17?
Yes.
I love how often you bring that movie up.
Because it's really good. Yeah. I feel like this is on the level.
No, this kicks the crap out of Edge of 17. And
really?
I liked Edge of 17, but this is like way better. And we're gonna look back at this movie in 10 years and be like, holy cow! If you tried to get all these people together now, it would have cost you $100 million.
Yeah, because
I think it's gonna be one of those movies where like everybody in this movie goes on to
something.
Big things cinematically. But it's a really fun and funny movie, and it's similar to Superbad in that it's like, you know, oh, it's the one night apart, this one night of going around hitting these parties, and
right.
It's, you know, the end of high school. And so, I mean, it definitely has some similarities, but it's from a female perspective, but not in like an uptight, eat your vegetables kind of way. Like,
okay.
It's just an absolute
two
blast.
Girls doing their thing.
Yeah. And the premise, if you haven't seen the trailer, is that like they're super button up and one's going to Yale. I think one's going to Columbia, and they're like, you know, they kind of run the nerdy end of the school, and they look down on all the party kids, and then on the last day they find out that the party kids are going to the same schools or the same caliber of schools,
right?
And they're like, wait, it wasn't either or.
Yeah.
Like, we could have done both.
Oh.
And so they're like, we got one night
yeah.
to make up for it.
And
That's pretty good.
And you don't get a lot of movies about female friendship.
You really do. I mean, you
and when
do,
you
but
do,
like,
on the rare occasion you
still
do,
Magnolias.
They drive a car off a cliff.
Yeah,
right.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And like these two, I don't know if they're friends in real life, but like,
chemistry is great.
Oh my God. Yeah. Off the charts, just how well these two like interact, yeah, and how quickly they can bounce off each other.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's just an amazing movie. So
there was that one. There's the kid version of Superbad 2.
Good Boys?
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
That's the Seth Rogen one,
and
right?
And that looks really
that
funny,
looks really
as,
funny
too.
As well. Yeah. That's got Timothy.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
There was a kid. The kid, like, he was in the movie where his face, like, he had, like, a facial disease.
Oh, Jacob Tremblay?
That's it.
Yeah. Eric Stoltz.
Eric Stoltz. Marty McFly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jacob Tremblay.
Yeah.
And that's
oh,
that's
the movie
kid.
Wonder.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, gotcha. That was it. And he's the main kid in this.
Another movie I would have never seen if I wasn't reviewing.
Oh, I didn't see it.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah. I mean, it's exactly
it's
what
Mask?
It,
is it Mask?
No, it's a little bit more like Disneyfied than that.
Okay.
And it's exactly what it looks like, but it's a really, really, really good version of it.
Okay.
And I was.
Who's the. Is that Jennifer Garner?
Julie Roberts.
Julie Roberts. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
that was close.
Yeah. You know.
Ooh, tomato, tomato. One's brother is Eric Roberts, the other married Ben Affleck.
Yes.
Whatever.
And who can ever forget her classic film Pretty Tomato? Or was it Pretty Tomato?
You say it both ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, just don't add an E on the end of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Not Dan Quayle.
It was potato,
but close enough.
I'm with you.
Close enough. So, shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. And while you are on your internet delivery device, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. And I don't know if we ever really make it clear. You can do it two ways. Like, you can obviously share the show and be in the League of Show Sharers, but there's also a subgroup called the League of Show Sharers.
Yes.
It gets a little bit more back and forth throughout the week. So if you want to talk to other like-minded people, or if you want to like use the internet to digitally shove nerds in lockers, that's where we're at. So, and people who were kind enough to share the show this week include, but are not limited to, Zara Vandekriek, Librarian Cynthia, Travis Tewitt, Griffin Fox Smith, Dylan A. Lang, Ralph Tribble, Tom Kaminsky, Susan Carlson, Gabriel Lugo, Ron Johnson, Laura Connolly Quiddick, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Chris Magic Man, Julian Jordan, Chris Sanders, Jason Weese, Tammy Sherman Powers, Lane LeVanway, and Timmy Tuzun. So
pretty good.
Yeah. So thank you so much for sharing the episode. And it just, you know, every little bit helps get us in front of people. Also, don't forget, we have a Patreon account where you can throw in $5 a month and get bonus content and the peace of mind of knowing that you're helping a struggling podcast that's not Freakonomics.
There will be two new episodes coming out. We did a review of Batman 89.
Heard of it.
And then we did Justice League versus the Fatal Five, which is the most recent DC animated.
I haven't watched that one yet.
It's, I mean, we get into it.
Did you go see 89 in theaters when it was
there? I did not. Yeah. I have the Blu-ray, so I just rewatched on that. Sure. But I definitely wanted, like, I never saw it in theaters.
Yeah, that's why I went.
My parents wouldn't let me go.
Yeah.
Like, that's how like, dark and creepy they thought that movie was going to be. That my
how
were,
old
like,
were you in 89?
I would have been 7.
Okay.
Yeah. I was 2. I saw Returns in theaters with my dad.
I saw Returns in theaters. Yeah. But yeah, my dad had a copy, like, one of the first copies of The Dark Knight Returns in trade. And I wasn't allowed to read that.
Oh, wow.
Either. He was like, no. This one isn't for you. And I was like, it's a Batman book. What do you mean it's not for me?
Were you reading comics at the time?
Oh, absolutely.
I didn't know if like he inadvertently started love of comics by denying you access to it.
But my love of comics, actually, he had one of the very first ever trades that contained the first appearance and origins of Spider-Man, the Hulk, Doctor Strange, and the Fantastic Four.
Okay.
And that's one of the first comics I remember thumbing through.
Sure. Right.
I couldn't read it. I still can't read it, but that's neither here nor there.
But the pictures,
were beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's how it kind of started.
Gotcha.
But he had this, I remember he had it like sitting on his nightstand, and that cover was like, it was Batman. It was the bat signal on a building, and like Batman kind of outlined it. And I was like, what is this? And like, I just happened to open to the page where they've got a chubbier Selina Kyle tied up looking like Wonder Woman beaten up. And I was like, I don't know what's going on here, but I know who's
feeling tingly.
Yeah, but like I think the next page, like it's
Oh, and that's where your love of bondage started.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yes.
Now I get it.
Yes, and yeah. Cosplay.
Yeah.
But like the next page, I may have even turned to is that radioactive lightning bolt through Superman.
Yeah,
and Superman is my guy, so I was like, what is going on? So yeah, like, but when 89 came out, I was not allowed to see it until my dad brought home like a VHS copy of it, and like I remember I'll never forget. He was like, "We're gonna watch a movie," and I was like, "I'm in." All you had to say was "movie."
Yeah.
And he was like, "He put it in, turned the lights off, and you don't know what that movie is. Like, if you didn't know, like right. going in blind, like that whole opening scene is just like the credits, and you're floating around that stone bat,
yeah. right?
Until it says Batman, I had no clue, and then of course it says Batman, I freak out.
Yeah.
And I love that movie. Like that movie surprisingly holds up.
I haven't seen it in ages.
It is a he is on cocaine.
Yeah.
Jack Nicholson, like, oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. But it's crazy how good it is,
yeah.
and how still good it is, and not very 80s-ish, unlike Returns, which does not hold up very well. But yeah, it was good.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So, well, I guess that's it for shameless plugs. We will now turn our eyes to the box office. I guess I have Kevin's abacus.
You do.
At the ready. So
Dusty.
So here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go. Coming in number one this week, Aladdin.
Oh, interesting.
I don't think that's too surprising. I think people
I guess that's probably true.
That yeah. even though it was, I don't think it was doing quite what they had hoped, but it still had a very solid weekend, $84 million for the weekend. Its four-day estimate is $104 million.
All right.
Yep. So,
with some interesting plot changes.
Yeah.
We'll get into that
in our next episode. Yeah. We'll tackle Aladdin head on, but that they definitely did some tweaking.
They did some tweaking.
To make her less of a damsel in distress.
Yes, right. They did.
Yeah. Yes. but yeah, so that, $104 million.
So they've got Lion King in the pipe. Like, that's
yeah,
next.
And I just saw that's on track for its opening weekend to make $180 to $200 million.
Woo! It's going
to
be huge.
And that actually opens on my, I think, when does that open?
I thought it was in November. Is it a summer
no,
movie?
No, it's a summer movie.
Oh. It's a summer movie. Yeah. I think it's July.
I thought so, too.
Because it's
yeah,
Toy Story 4.
July
19th,
so it'll be open. It'll open, I think, while
2 weeks after Spider-Man.
No, maybe I'll see it in time. I was thinking I was going to be on a Disney cruise when it opened.
I guess they can show first run.
They're the only cruise line that can show first run films because they're their films.
It's their
so
films.
You're only going to see their films.
Sure.
But right now, that's 80% of all movies, yeah, right. So it's okay. but yeah, so like, my cruise leaves, I think, the 22nd. It opens on the 19th. They'll show it on
yeah,
the boat.
Okay.
They'll show it on the boat on the 19th. If you're on a Disney cruise on July 19th, it'll open that day.
How do they? What is that theater set up?
It's really nice.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's like it's tiered.
Okay.
And they have so they have two theaters. They have a theater where they do their stage productions, and then they have a theater that's just for movies.
Okay.
But typically, if they have a movie this big, they'll show it in that bigger one. Also, and they'll show it a couple times. Like when the last time I was on a Disney cruise, they were showing Incredibles 2. Was
okay.
Was a couple weeks old, and but they'll normally have at least one showing in the big theater, which my guess probably holds 1,000-ish people.
Okay.
Wow,
that's a decent size. I mean,
yeah,
that's
than I thought.
Theater,
yeah.
And the one designed for movies, I think probably holds more about 300.
Okay,
but it's
okay.
Tiered. It's you know it's. You know, it's nice.
Does it have reclining seats?
They do not recline. Ooh. But, you know, if you hit the right waves.
We're so spoiled with those.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole thing will recline.
Yeah. But it's been a couple of years since I've been on one, so maybe they recline.
Okay.
I don't know. But, you know, they could have updated it.
Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, they just spend all that money on Fox. Just
that's true.
Scale back that Disney cruise.
But, yeah, so, but it's cool because, like, the last time we were on, maybe it was just last summer, but it was, like, Incredibles 2. Solo.
Oh, nice.
Avengers Infinity War.
Ooh.
Like, so they were still showing Black Panther.
I'd spend my time in the theater.
Yeah, they were still showing Black Panther. They show, you know, lots of, you know, lots of stuff like
interesting.
That.
Interesting. So, okay. Okay.
But yeah, so I was like, oh, well, cool. If I can't see it in time to review, I can see it on the boat.
Bring that mic.
And yeah.
We'll record on the boat.
You don't even want to know what Wi-Fi costs on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
I promise you, we will not be bringing the mic on the boat. Not be bringing the mic on the boat. So I guess coming in number two, John Wick, Chapter 3, Parabellum.
Parabellum. Good for it.
Yes, made $23.6 million. Its four-day estimate is $29.8 million. And so Not counting the Sforte estimate, its grand total is at $100 million.
So that's awesome. That's honestly where it should be.
Yeah,
you know, like there's no reason for that movie to not be a success.
But for a movie that was like they dumped it in February.
Yeah, right.
You know, like they thought nothing.
It's so weird to see this resurgence of Keanu.
Yeah,
you know, as like he's not the most coordinated guy. When you see him move around, you're just like, how? Yeah. How are you able to put two steps together? Because
he's definitely do all his own stunts, though?
He does. Yeah. He's
definitely reached a different level in pop culture. Like, there's a play on Broadway right now called Be More Chill.
Okay.
Which is wonderful. And it's about these, you know, this nerdy kid that wants to be cool. And there's this thing they call a squib, which it's like a pill. If you take it, it like releases a computer in your brain that'll teach you how to be cool.
Okay.
And so within the context of the play, there's a personification of the computer giving him instructions on how to be cool, right?
And
his definition of cool is Keanu Reeves. So the compute, so the entire, there's like a character for the entire play that's basically doing a Keanu
Reeves.
Which
Keanu?
Reeves.
Like Bill and Ted?
No, like Matrix era.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's so weird. That's not the cool Keanu that I think of.
Yeah.
Like I go Point Break, Bill and Ted, like Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. But he's like tough guy action star.
Yeah.
And there's the digital aspect of you're taking this like supercomputer that you swallow.
Right.
But
right.
But Be More Chill is really good.
That's fun.
You get a chance to see it. So
hopefully they come to town.
And actually, there's a production, like an amateur production or a semi-professional production of it. It stages now.
Oh, really?
If you want to start.
Yeah. Give that a look.
Yeah, it's really, really good. It's a lot of fun. So John Wick is literally and figuratively kicking ass.
Good.
Coming in at number three, Avengers Endgame with $17.2 million. Its four-day estimate is $22.2 million. So that would bring its three-day estimate through the weekend is $798 million total. So
all right, we're getting there.
It will hit
$800
million on Monday.
So good.
Yeah.
So
domestic.
Great. Yeah. So real quick, there was an interesting little tidbit that somebody that a fan noticed, I guess, on their 19,000th rewatch. You know the scene in Endgame where Peggy is talking to, where Steve sees Peggy in the past,
right?
And she's talking to that agent.
Sure.
Apparently, she's talking about searching for Agent Braddock. If anybody knows who Agent, like who the Braddocks are, like that's Captain Britain. In the Marvel Universe, or it could also be his sister, Psylocke, Betsy Braddock. So I thought that, and they're both British, so I thought that was kind of like an interest. I'm like, if they bring that character in, like, that's one of my favorite, top five.
Yeah.
I love Captain Britain.
So Henry Cavill?
I would absolutely, yes. You know what? Give that guy something to do. Yeah.
Finally can use his accent.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, like, I would love it if it was Henry Cavill. But I was just like, man, they are, like, if they're actually, I feel like, at this point in these movies, when they say names, like they're doing it on purpose.
Yeah, like they did with Stephen Strange in Ultron.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah, well, I think you see his name.
Or somebody says it in passing.
Oh, really?
The Hydra agents.
Okay.
Or Agent Coulson does when they're like.
Because I know when they're looking. Maybe it's Winter Soldier where they do the list
yeah.
of names and
yeah.
Stephen Strange is on that list. But it's interesting. They have said that they're not going to introduce the X-Men now. Like we're gonna wait.
Gotcha.
On that. And I have a feeling we'll see the slate for whatever Phase 4 is coming up after Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And then we'll see. Because they've announced nothing after. I mean, besides like Black Panther 2 and Spider-Man,
I think
Doctor Strange 2.
X-Men needs a little time to breathe.
I agree.
Especially
now. Like, I'm sure they are just like, man, we got to put up with this piece of crap movie coming out.
I'm kind of surprised they're still releasing it.
To me, I would do the Fantastic Four. Like, that's had enough time to.
I agree. That's exactly where I was landing. Like, bring in Fantastic Four
right.
for, you know, Phase 4 or whatever yep. number they're on now.
And see? And that works.
Yeah. And then let that play out. Let X-Men take a breath.
Yep.
And then when you bring it back, now you're 7-8 years down the road and people are excited.
People
again.
Forget that you made two good movies
yeah.
in an entire franchise. but yeah, like, that's the thing. But the Braddocks. And I was like, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Like, I bring them in. Put them as part of the Avengers now. Like, I don't even care. But it'd be interesting to see if it's not Brian, who is Captain Marvel or Captain Britain, if it would be Betsy, because she's a mutant, and there's a whole nother like thing that could happen when they introduce her. So I just thought that was kind of an interesting little tidbit.
Yeah, I think that like when they need those side conversations,
Yeah.
You know, that really are apropos of nothing. It's like they make a point now. Like, well, just reference another character.
Right.
And if we don't get around to it, it's a cool
Easter
egg.
Somebody's going to see it.
Yeah. And if we do get around to it,
yeah,
it's we look like geniuses.
Right. Exactly.
You know? Like, we called it. They were laying the groundwork for this four movies.
Yeah. Like when they said that kid in Iron Man 2. No, that was Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Like, oh, was it? Now you're going to go. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I got you.
But that's sure. great. And, you know, what's great, one of the really cool aspects about comic books, when it's done well,
yeah.
is the way they can retcon things.
Sure.
By referencing things that you thought weren't anything because they weren't.
They weren't.
Because they weren't.
That fan theory you had about the Secret Wars with like Nick Fury and all that. Like if they really set the groundwork, like hid that in there so well for the future, like that would blow my mind.
It would be to say that Nick Fury has been a Skrull this entire time
because of that sandwich scene from Captain Marvel.
He was flipped in like at some point between Captain Marvel and Age of Ultron, I guess, or whatever that was.
Yeah.
But yeah, like,
and sometimes the best retconning comes from, like,
we have to do something.
Explaining away a plot hole.
Right.
You know what I mean? And again, when it's done well. And so far, like,
Winter Soldier is a prime example.
Yeah.
Like, there was the rule at Marvel where they're just like, people you can't bring back. Uncle Ben and Bucky.
Yeah.
Like, those are the two people that are not allowed to come back ever.
Yeah.
And then Ed Brubaker's like, I got this story that I'd like to tell. And they're just like, you want to bring back who?
Yeah.
All right, fine.
Bucky comes back.
And Bucky comes back.
And now Uncle Ben has his own line of rice.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
It's great. You know, he made it. He did okay.
And then they brought back Gwen Stacy.
They did bring back Gwen Stacy. And it's just like, so like you could bring back Gwen, but you can't bring back Uncle Ben because that undoes
that
everything.
That undoes?
Undoes?
Yeah, undoes.
Undoes? Undoes everything that makes Spider-Man Spider-Man.
Yeah, it removes his entire motivation.
Yeah,
for
he's
why
like, oh, he's back.
Spider-Man.
Well, I guess I'm going back to professional wrestling.
Yes. Which would make you happy. So
a
you're
bone saw.
It's a win-win for Joe either way.
Oh, so that's. I was just listening to a podcast.
Oh, no.
And well, no. It's just,
what have I done?
No. You haven't done anything. But they're talking about that exact scene.
Yeah.
Where Peter Parker is a professional wrestler. And, like, there's a whole What If series where he continued as a professional wrestler. And he's just like, if you look at it, they're actually getting the background of that industry right.
Yeah.
Where, like, he goes, you know, he gets in there. He's a rookie. The promoter tries to screw him over because he had, like, all. And he's like, it's amazing how close they got to real life with this in this one little scene. But yeah, Macho Man Randy Savage is in that movie. R.I.P.
So coming in at number four, Pokemon Detective Pikachu at $13 million with a 4-day estimate of $17 million, bringing its grand total to almost just shy of $116 million.
I mean, they can't be unhappy with that.
No. You wouldn't think.
No.
I mean, especially for something that really could have just lived as a little kid's movie.
Right, exactly. You know, just lived in that little...
And just done its $70 to $80 million.
And been okay with it.
Yeah, so...
Did you see they pushed Sonic back to 2020?
I did. Yeah.
I'm sure they're just like, we got to get this. Like, come on. Yeah. And then that, you know, I guess they...
Speaking of straight to Hulu.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. I was like, well, at least they're taking their... You know, they're doing it right. You know, they're not gonna rush it. They're going to fix... whatever Sonic is going to look like.
Right.
There's going to, you know, when that new picture comes out, they're going to be like, well, thanks for listening.
Yeah. If it's good.
Yeah. That's true. I feel like
what if they fix it and it still sucks?
Oh my God. Like then you just shelve the movie.
Yeah.
Like what do you know, like if they were mad about the other one and you don't get this one right. Yeah.
They're like, does Yahoo still have a streaming channel? Yeah.
Especially with in my mind with Pikachu coming out already and making the money it did. I was never that big of a fan of Sonic to think that it would even make the numbers that Detective Pikachu did in the first place. You know?
I think there's like, how old are you?
I'll be 32 in June.
Okay, so I'm 37. That game was like the first game you got for your Sega Genesis.
Of course, yeah.
So like for guys my
you guys are lucky because like the games you got with yours like NES had Super Mario Brothers.
Super Mario
Sega
Duck
came
Hunt.
With Sonic. When you got Atari, it came with Combat.
Ooh,
like yeah. That was like
just dots shooting dots.
Yeah. Two squares that were supposed to be tanks shooting dots at each other. That was it. That was the game that like Combat is probably most famous for. The first time you were like, I wonder what the inside of one of these cartridges look like.
Oh, this is it.
Goodbye, combat. Goodbye. Yeah. Like, even your parents would be like, what did you do to that cartridge? Do you know how expensive those goddamn things are? What do you think? Mom, it's combat. Oh. Okay, yeah, well, no, that's fine.
There wasn't Pong.
Let's go get you Pitfall.
Okay, yeah. Like, even your mom was like, oh, combat? Yeah. Screw that trash.
You know those guys are trying to get, like, a PS4 game going?
Yeah.
Like, we got to get something. Like, yeah. Combat, it's still a viable property.
Oh, it had such great artwork, though. The cover art for combat.
I don't know.
If you look at some of those games back then, like, some of those games are garbage.
But the artwork.
Oof. Yeah, you get, like, a Frank Frazetta cover.
The asteroids artwork.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was so good. And then you play the game, you're like, oh, God.
Yeah, and it's, like, four pixels. Yeah.
It's like getting a Neil Adams cover with, you know, somebody who's not Neil Adams on the inside,
right?
You know, you're just like, oh my god, I can't wait to read this comic, and you open, you're like, crap, they got me.
curses again.
Oh man, there was a while when I was new to comics where I was like, the art's gonna look like this on the inside. All right.
Oh.
Damn it.
It's an important life lesson
it
for you.
It really is.
Yeah.
Never judge a book by its cover. It
comes in handy when dating.
They're gonna look like this on the inside. Oh no,
no, no, she's no. Ugly and awful on the inside. Coming to number five, the aforementioned Booksmart at $7.4 million with a four-day total of $9 million. Cannot say enough good things about this
movie. Yeah, and they're releasing it in the summer where it's just massive blockbusters blockbusters. And it's going to get swallowed up, unfortunately.
Hopefully it has legs.
I think it has the legs through just the critical consensus. Everybody is like talking about how good it is and like pushing you to go see it.
Yeah.
Do you think that in the current climate we're in, though, that the critical movies that are like critical darlings, do the critics even matter anymore? You know what I mean? Like,
they do and they don't.
Right.
I mean,
do you think the common moviegoer is going to look at a critical review and be like, oh, I have to go see that?
I don't think any one critic matters in the way they used to.
Sure.
Right.
But I think collectively, it creates a consensus when a movie is kind of overwhelmingly being pushed as good or bad.
Right.
Yeah. It's sitting in a high 90s and Rotten Tomatoes too. So people are going to see that everybody's
critical or audience
critical.
Okay.
And yeah, I don't know what the audience
is. I cannot imagine if you're in this age range and you go and see this movie, you not walking out of this movie pumped and looking to evangelize on its behalf.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I remember.
That good.
I remember. I mean, it's definitely not on the level, but like, I remember when American Pie came out. Like, that, I was in that age range.
Yeah.
And, man, we were going to see that movie twice in a weekend.
Yeah.
Like, we were always, like, you know, that theater was packed with people my age.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I totally get, like, and it's obviously not on the American Pie.
Is it crude like American Pie? Or
what's that?
Booksmart. Is it like, what's it rated?
It's R.
Is it R? Okay.
Yeah,
do they
R.
Delve into the R? Like, do they let them go?
I mean, language, there's one brief scene of nudity, which is not a sex scene. And then there's a sex scene with no nudity. But it's very frank at times in its discussion of sex.
Okay.
So, I definitely wouldn't, like a movie like Eighth Grade, where it was rated R, but people were like, you should probably still let your eighth grader see it.
Oh, sure, sure.
Yeah. Because it's very slice of life, and it's what they're experiencing every day.
What was the other one that we saw, the Jonah Hill one?
Oh,
mid-90s.
There we go. Thank you. Yeah.
That was great.
I haven't seen a movie turn around for me like that.
Yep.
I don't know if ever. I started off like,
I hated it.
Hated it so bad. And
where is the switch? There is a flip where I was like, oh,
but at some point he like humanizes these kids and you're like, okay, they're still being douchey, but I get it.
Yeah.
And you end up rooting for them. And I did not expect that change to come.
No, I agree.
Or if it did, be remotely effective. And I like, yeah,
that was a good flick.
Yeah. Absolutely. It was absolutely. But yeah, so like I wouldn't take a tween or young teenager. I think if you got, you know, a 15, 16 year old on your hands and you've let them see other things that are R-rated, you're probably going to be fine.
Okay.
Cool.
What are some of you like? So I feel like the 70s, 80s and 90s raunchy comedy
is
dead. I feel like you can't get away with those movies anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the reason it's dead is because you look back at those movies and it's a lot of toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
For lack of a better word. Very, very tight rope.
I mean, you know, and I've always been a big proponent of, like, you have to watch a movie in a historical context.
Sure, sure.
And, like, yeah. And give it a little room to breathe, because I promise you, however good of a person you think you are today, in 25 years, culture is going to turn on some aspect
on you.
Of something you like or the way you behave that you can't even fathom being offensive today.
Right.
And my guess, if I was going to predict one, it's meat. Like, I think they
like
will come up.
Meat?
Yeah, I think they're going to come up with meat substitutes that are so good and so much like the real thing. We are going to look back in time and be like, we were all jerks for eating meat, but it will only be with the moral superiority
and comfort
of having options that are as good as the real thing.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to be 90 and be like, just give me the burger.
Yeah, like if they could make a burger that tasted like a burger and they didn't have to kill a cow, I'm totally down for that. Like,
yeah,
you got me. But if I have to eat, like, if you just pressed a bunch of leaves into a patty and you called it a burger and it tastes like pressed leaves, yeah, that cow,
I'm gonna eat that cow
is gone.
Right.
Like,
yeah, I guess that's true. If you're gonna make a burger that tastes the Impossible Burger,
that's a brand name.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, it's a brand name.
Oh.
And I have not had it yet, but and it's very scary for me to order one, knowing that it's not really meat. But the reviews I've heard,
be like, I'm gonna order two burgers.
Well, I think
when you make one of them the Impossible Burger,
yeah,
one of them not. And
but don't tell me. but I've heard that it.
It looks legit,
and importantly, feels like meat.
That's the main thing.
Yeah, like people over, like it, I respond very much to texture.
Yeah,
in
I'm
food.
With you.
Like, and there's a lot of foods that I like the taste of, but I can't get down because of texture.
Yep.
And a good example,
Tom just chews it up and spits it out.
Yeah. a good example of like how important texture is. So like they have flavored jelly beans, jelly
sure.
beans, and they have all
sure.
the different flavors. And I remember one time I had a handful of the popcorn flavored jelly beans, and so here's the problem.
Yuck.
It tasted just like popcorn.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, they nailed it, man. Like, it tasted like popcorn. Here's the problem. It felt
like jelly beans.
Like a jelly bean. Right. So when you're chewing something that feels like a jelly bean but it tastes like popcorn,
yeah,
I thought somebody,
your brain doesn't know what to do.
I was like, did someone, I think someone baby birded popcorn into my mouth. This is like pre-chewed popcorn. I can't do this.
Here, Tom,
like,
eat this.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, it was so weird because I'm like, logically, I know this tastes exactly like, they nailed it.
Sure.
But it still feels
yeah.
like a jelly bean.
I am right there with you as far as texture.
Yeah.
Like, my sister what's the one where you don't eat meat but you still eat like fish?
Vegetarian.
Is that what it is?
Vegetarian, like we'll still eat fish.
Okay.
And they're not as concerned. Like, a vegan won't do.
She's not a vegan.
Right. A vegan won't do anything that involves animals anyway. So they won't do honey. Right, because it
sorry,
cause
sons
it,
of bitches,
because bees have to be utilized,
sure.
And so like they're much stricter.
Yeah, you do you. That's
right.
Fine. But like,
but
so,
are bees harmed? The
I guess they're not.
Bees
are not
like,
in
but
the
you
wild.
Captured them.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They're
okay.
not wild bees. They're just
gotcha.
Like, you know.
I mean, I don't disagree with
yeah.
where you're going. You're like, it's a goddamn bee.
Yeah.
Like,
but
it's
like,
gonna sting you.
I thought the principle was that like is like things that harm animals, but
right, but they won't. They won't drink milk.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So, you know, which you could get milk without harming an animal.
True.
I mean, not it, like,
but,
I mean,
okay,
if you go
yeah.
with industrial milk, if you're going,
sure.
like those cows are hooked up to machines and it's so, not a
yeah.
sticking point for me, but I get that it is
get
for
it,
some,
yeah.
you know, but you could get a you
like farm raised milk. Or
right.
Whatever.
You could get a version of milk where they, you know, they have some
humane, you know,
pigtailed
like, yeah.
girl in a in a
overall
very descriptive.
Yeah. In a gingham skirt, milking a cow into a bucket.
Well, I know it's going to be the logo for the real spoilers.
Right. Like you could
just milking Tom.
Yeah. And a gingham guy.
Milk anything.
You could do that.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
You can
milk
do
anything
that.
With nipples, Greg.
But you know, but even then they'd
right.
be like, no, that cow
don't do it.
Didn't grant consent.
Sure. Yeah, right,
I don't know
right.
what would offend them at that point.
Everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
child labor, I guess, right. In the version icon.
So the kid's like, I live here. Like, I don't, which is what I'm supposed to do. So we used to, we all had one big group of friends, and we would go on cabin trips and float trips and all that stuff. So when she became vegetarian, she would, you know, we'd bring meat with us to barbecue or do whatever. And she would bring these stupid burgers.
Right.
Boca burgers. And I'd throw them on the grill. I'm just like, I guess they're done. I couldn't tell you. Like, they have grill marks on them, and it's hot. Yeah. I assume it's cooked. Enjoy your weird leafy burger.
Right. It's a secret to grilling a hot dog, by the way.
Yeah.
This is the thing that clicked for me, and it just freed me up on how to grill a hot dog.
Okay.
It's already cooked.
It is already cooked. You just got to get the grill marks on it.
You're just getting hot.
That's all you're doing.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
Like, you're not actually cooking it.
Nope.
So there's no, like, just don't burn it.
If you like it burnt, you blacken it a little bit,
right,
and you call it a day.
Yeah, but just as long as you don't burn it, you have successfully barbecued a hot dog.
That's right.
Right? Like, it's very simple.
Yeah,
it's not like, don't make it harder than it needs to be.
No,
I tell my kids all the time, you're making it harder than it needs to be.
Right. Like, work smarter, not harder.
Yeah, you're overthinking it. Overthinking it.
So, I had to learn that adage way later in life than I should have.
It was like Wednesday, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
Work smarter, not harder. What am I doing? This is ridiculous.
So coming in at number six is Brightburn with $6.8 million and a four-day total estimate of $8 million.
You saw it.
Yeah.
What did you think?
I liked it.
Okay.
I thought it looked good for a $6 million movie.
It did. That's like, true. That's very true.
I liked that it leaned into the R rating with some. I mean, it was gory, and
I take that back.
Yeah.
I did appreciate the gore.
Yeah,
yeah. Which was, I mean, that was good.
What
stuff.
Do you take back? Because you said off the air what you thought.
I did not like it.
Yeah,
I take that. Okay, I didn't not like it. I was indifferent about it.
Yeah.
So Superman's my Superman's my guy.
I had no idea,
and we haven't gotten a good Superman movie since 1978. So
what? Superman 2 was good.
Okay, 1981.
Okay,
sorry.
I was like, hang on,
yeah, that's
slow
true.
Your
Superman,
roll.
Superman 2 is very good.
Yeah,
maybe better than the first one. Maybe.
Boy, it's hard.
It is hard.
Like, Superman 2 is a better, just kind of Superman adventure story.
Yeah,
but
I think Superman 1 is a better crafted movie,
and that even though it takes a long time for him to become Superman, just that story and that kind of like sheened hope of America in the
'70s
and the but at that point it would have been like '50s.
Yeah, I guess
because
it's
him growing up.
It's him growing up.
Old,
that's true.
You know, and like they really like just got that feeling.
They did.
You know,
and then unlike this one, it's tough because I do think that the gun contingent, because I think these are his cousins and another
his brother. Yeah, his brother,
there's one
his
brother,
cousin.
Cousin, and him.
Yep.
They do have, like, they have, they're telling stories that they want to tell.
Yeah.
And I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
You know, I just feel like you haven't earned this story yet because you haven't, like, to me, once you've got a Superman established, right, that's not Zack Snyder's Superman, then you can start getting into, like, well, what if he did this or what if he went this way? But we haven't gotten there. We've gotten, you know, like, his story arc in the DCEU is like, he shows up. He lets his dad die. He kills Zod.
Yeah.
And then he turns into a jerk
for
another three hour movie where you're just like, why would I ever root for this guy? He's he's an asshole.
Would you be more inclined to root for him if I told you
that
his mother's name was Martha?
Maybe.
Okay.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah. That's the problem. Good, you're not thinking.
I'm the one. Yeah. So like this story, the story has been told. Mark Waid did a book called Irredeemable, which is basically the same thing where a Superman type character has had enough.
Yeah.
Where he's just like, I'm tired of you crapping on me. I could take over this place with a snap of my fingers, and I don't because I enjoy you people and I enjoy being. But it gets to a point for him where he just snaps in his head. And he's just like, that's it. I'm done. And takes everybody out and takes over. There's another story, Superman Red Son. That is Mark
Russia, right?
The capsule lands in the Soviet
Union.
It
gets clipped by a meteor, and instead of landing in Kansas, he lands in the Soviet Union, and then like makes the Soviet Union the United States. Like he turns that whole thing, and he turns like there's no wars that they can't win. It's a very good
story. I've
heard
about it. I've never read it.
It's a wonderful story, it's weird to say that, but it's just like it's just the Superman idea in Russia. It's very good. So like there's all these different versions of this evil Superman, and this one I was like, when they announced it, I was like, okay, the horror version of this story. And it just didn't click. Like, I thought the kids were, the kid was good.
Yeah.
I thought, I mean, obviously Elizabeth Banks is a Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah.
And I thought the guy, the dude that played the dad was good.
Yeah.
But it just felt like they wanted to build this story and they just did it really fast.
Yeah. It was a really, it felt really,
it's an
short.
Hour and a half. Yeah. Like, yeah. It's a,
there could have been a little bit more development. There was a time where when the kid was starting to turn, I was like, whoa, that was quick. And,
yeah.
You know, and there's some connections that were made. I leaned over to my friend. Can we spoil movies like that we're not reviewing?
Well, I guess if, giving people heads up.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't want to ruin, maybe fast forward.
It's not really, I mean, you know the angle the movie's going to go just based on what it is. But like the connection that the cop made to when he believes the boy.
Oh, sure, sure.
Like, I was like, that's a huge stretch. You know, like,
yeah, he sees the symbol. He was like, hey, I know those letters.
Those look like two B's. That must be your boy that's doing this.
I was like, that's a bold move there, officer. Like, that's, I'm glad you should have, well, I don't know where you got your detective degree, but.
Yeah, so like this corny, I mean, I think what I liked about it, I mean, I don't have the passion for Superman that you do, but like, just the fact that it was like, it leaned into being graphic and,
yeah, sure.
And just a altered story of Superman coming, and what we, and it is a boy form too, not as like a grown Superman,
which is like that's always been kind of there's two schools of thought, is that he shows up with his powers,
yeah,
or his powers don't show up until he hits puberty. So like there's, you know, and this one is definitely the more puberty storyline, but yeah, like, and then they try they're gonna try to spin this off.
Are they really?
Did you stay through the credits?
I think. Yeah, because I did two movies that night, so I had time to kill.
There's an Aquaman analog in this movie. Like at the end of this movie, there, Michael Rooker is doing like,
oh yeah, know, yeah, I saw that.
And there's like evil Aquaman, there's an evil Wonder Woman, there's an evil, looks like maybe Batman. So like, and they've talked to Gunn, they're just like, so there's this thing. He's like, we're gonna try to do it. And I was like, dude, you work for DC.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Marvel.
And Marvel. Yeah. Marvel's like, you make bad DC movies all you want.
Marvel is gonna let him do whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like they've
already
kind of burned him. Yeah, and so the fact that he came back to save Guardians of the Galaxy, like they're gonna like, they're like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. So like, you know, I don't really need to see an evil DCEU.
Yeah.
You know.
But considering that it's Sony
yet.
Too, like, so I don't, I mean,
yeah,
they're not, it's, he's not Superman, quote unquote.
No,
but
sure,
like,
sure, sure.
But yeah, that's
when you get the, like, there's a whole opening scene where they're talking about hornets and bees. And I was like, okay, so we're going to say this kid is like part of a hive mind. And like he was sent here to like scope it out. And then the rest of them are going to show up. And that never plays out.
Yeah.
Like that's never a thing that comes into play later. And then he just, you know, starts murking people.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was what it was. It was
jaw dropping.
Literally.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, there you go. It's Brightburn.
Okay. So coming in at number seven, A Dog's Journey at $4.2 million with an estimated 4-day total of $5.8 million, bringing its grand total to $15 million.
Wow.
Which I don't think is quite as good as that last one did.
Oh, no?
I don't think so. But I felt like the last one opened at a different time of year. We had a little bit more breathing room.
Sure,
but,
sure.
But
what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, I feel like it's a Jesus dog movie.
It's a dog movie, and yeah. I bet they make tons of money on
demand.
On VOD.
Oh, I was like, dog chow?
Yes. Yeah, well, I mean, that's when they're done with the dogs.
Right, yeah.
They grind them up and put them in dog chow.
Correct.
Why do you think it's called dog chow?
A dog chow.
Yeah.
There's a reason.
It's not for dogs.
No.
It's of dogs.
And for dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
so coming in number eight is The Hustle at $3.8 million.
I mean, I'm honestly surprised that's still in the top 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And and its grand total right now is $29.8 million, so just shy of 30. So
I was entertained by it.
Were you?
Yeah. Like, there were some parts that we were cracking up quite a bit, but it's very much... I haven't seen Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Oh,
but,
dude.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But... from what, you know, the people around me, what I think you got, Kevin saw it maybe or talked about it. It's beat for beat the same movie. And then at the end of it, when the big turn happens and like they find out that their mark was actually marking them.
Right.
Like, I didn't feel like it worked here, especially just.
Well, and I don't even feel like that's a spoiler because that's pretty much every con artist movie.
Yeah.
Ever.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It just left a bad taste in my mouth at the end that they were trying to win this bet with this one mark, and then he was playing them the whole time, and then they have to join him to be successful. And it was just like, it seemed untimely, and I didn't like it.
That's the Ocean's like trope, right? Like they you think the one guy, they're playing this one guy, but he's actually been in it. I think it was the Andy Garcia character. Like
that's Ocean's 13, where he's part of it.
Play him in the movie, and then he comes back, and he's part of the con in the third one.
Yeah,
I love those movies.
Yeah.
So good.
I think I saw the first and second one, but not
second
the third.
One. It's the third.
I know the second one's pretty weak.
I like the second one. Like it gets a little into its own head.
Yeah.
For a little bit, but I like the
out of the three of them, that's my least favorite. Yes. But I like all three.
Yeah,
of them.
13's good stuff.
Yeah.
So coming in at number 9, The Intruder with $2.3 million. What its 4-day estimate is $3 million.
It's the last time Dennis Quaid had two movies in the top
10. I know, right? Bringing its lifetime total to $31.9 million. I'm thinking that's got to be a win for them.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
They do a movie like this every year.
Yeah.
Last year it was Breaking In. I didn't like either one of them.
Which one? Was that the Gabriel Union one?
Yeah.
Aha! I knew it was Gabriel Union.
I was not generous to it. I hated every minute of it when I was there.
I don't know. Like we talked about it with the Boy Next Door or the Rosario Dawson, Kevin Heigl one. Like there's just it's a back in the 80s, man. Like there were those erotic thrillers and like cheesy cheeseball thrillers that would come. You'd get like one a month. There's a great podcast called The 80s All Over with Drew McWeeny and Scott Weinberg. I think this season is 1984, and they're going month by month with all of the releases that came out in those months.
Oh, really?
It's great because you forget how much sleaze there was.
Yeah.
You know, like you hear the big ones, obviously, you know, they talk about Star Wars, things like that. But then when they start breaking down, they're like Commando or, you know, like just some sleaze ball movies.
Yeah. Well, I think people too, when they talk about how much they love 80s movies but I think people forget.
Yeah.
It's like gambling. They only remember the hits. They
right.
Remember
it's
the
like
misses.
SNL.
Right. Yeah, like, right. There were a lot of pretty lousy movies.
Yeah.
Part of the reason you saw Back to the Future, you know, seven
sure,
times.
Sure, right.
Is because there wasn't anything else out. Sure.
Right.
You know?
Or there was nothing you could go see.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, it's if you give it a shot, like, it's a very good. They're both very funny.
Okay.
But like, when they start talking about movies that came out in like February of 1984, you're like, oh man, I'm gonna go watch that right now. That sounds terrible.
So and then coming in last but not least, well, no, I guess by virtue of definition it's least.
No, I mean there's movies that made less than
that's
that,
fair
yeah.
From a business standpoint.
Yeah, right.
Long Shot with $1.6 million, bringing its total up to $28.7 million.
I mean, that's a shame. That's the Rogan one, right?
Yeah.
I heard good things. Still
I've
haven't
heard
seen
very
it,
good things.
Whenever I read that movie title, I have to stop and be like, which one is this?
Yeah. That is
nice. And the sad, I saw it.
Oh. Yeah.
That's, but it's, I'm just like, which one is
what
this?
What am I doing again?
I'm like, and especially because there's a really, it's maybe not really old. It's not like from the 40s, but there was a movie with like Tim Conway and Harvey Korman called The Long Shot.
R.I.P. by
that,
the way.
Yeah, that takes place at a horse track, and like I always stop and I'm like, The Long,
Long
Shot?
Shot?
Tim Conway and Ted Wass?
That dude, I don't think people, I think the majority of people my age don't get how funny Tim Conway was.
Yeah.
Like that dude was a natural, and he, oh man, he's so funny.
Yeah.
Not even the dwarf stuff.
Dorf,
which was what it was.
Yeah.
Like that was my first introduction to him. And then I found him on the Carol Burnett show and things like that. So it was, that's a tough one.
Yeah. I grew up, you know,
sure.
Watching the Carol Burnett show in real time because
oh,
I'm 100 years old. And, so like, yeah, I absolutely, I mean, I remember like as great as the dentist sketch is.
Sure.
Can you imagine watching it without someone going, I'm going to show this hysterically funny thing?
Right.
Like in just
watching it in real time.
Just like, I'm going to sit down and watch this.
I couldn't imagine.
Like, holy crap.
Could not imagine.
And there's another one that they do that's great where, which really dates it, but it's him and Harvey Korman are on an airplane.
Okay.
And it was right when they introduced the concept of coach seating.
Okay.
So the seats were smaller and you didn't get as many amenities, but it was cheaper. Like that was a new concept.
Oh.
And so it's about like what you have to give up to sit and coach.
Okay.
And because they don't even call it coach anymore, you know. Yeah. It's, you know, but
second class
or business class. There's like first class and business class, and I forget what they call the rest of it.
Economic or
yeah, something. Economy, yeah, or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
but they called it coach back then.
Yeah, right.
And it's just like all the things, and then like, and then the waitress is like, and he's sitting where it's like the last row. Harvey Korman's in the last row of first class, and Tim Conway is in the first row of coach.
Okay.
And so like there's just this line of demarcation, and oh my god, it is so funny.
Do yourself a favor, go online, look up some of his stuff, because man, watch him. What's the sketch where he's trying to make his co-star laugh?
All of them?
Yeah.
I guess he's trying to break up Harvey Korman.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And it might be the dentist one.
Yeah.
Where he's desperately trying to get him to go.
Yeah. But that was an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
And he was also kind of notorious for, you know, because those were taped in front of a live audience, but they weren't live shows. And so they would do the rehearsals and then he would kind of riff things. And then he'd come back for the actual show
and do something different,
and do something totally different.
John Mulaney would do Bill Hader,
the Stefan stuff.
Yeah, they would have jokes laid out, and Hader'd be like, "Got it." And then when he'd go to Weekend Update,
he would change the references.
New cue cards.
Yeah,
and if you watch him, he can't keep it together,
right?
Because there's like the whole Dan Cortez thing. Didn't know it was coming.
Really?
Like, he's just reading off the card. That's why he can't keep it together for the whole Dan Cortez joke.
But yeah, oh, Tim Conway. I saw Tim Conway and Harvey Korman.
Oh, really?
They came to the Fox. This would have been, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago.
Oh, man, that would have been great.
And I was just like, this is probably.
Yeah.
And I think Harvey Korman died like less than a year later.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he was having trouble that night.
Okay.
Like, you could see that Tim Conway was having to kind of. He would go off and do things, and they'd have to. And Tim Conway would kind of have to bring him back in. You could tell that he was struggling.
You still got to see him.
Yeah, I got to see him, and it was. And also, there aren't very many shows I get to go to anymore where I'm like literally the youngest person in the room. And so
that's fair.
I went to see Bob Newhart. I don't know, a year ago.
Yeah,
and like the guy sitting in front of me is like, "You're so young. Do you even know who Bob Newhart is?" And I'm like, I'm almost 50. Yeah. Like,
he was still a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Newhart was definitely still a thing.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there was the Bob Newhart show in the 70s,
right,
which was huge. But then he had Newhart.
Right.
In the 80s.
That was on Nick at Night. I remember watching some of
it. Yeah. And then it was rerun on. Yeah. But it's like.
When did that end? I feel like I watched that when it was
on TV. I think it ended like 89.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Is
that the one where they tied it into the Newhart show?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, such a great classic ending.
Yeah.
Was 90, that the one that was a dream?
It ran from 82 to 90. In the last episode of Newhart, he wakes up as Bob Hartley from the Bob Newhart show.
Yeah,
it's like, I had the weirdest dream.
Yeah.
And Suzanne Plachette is in bed next to him. And it's like.
Did Dallas do that?
Dallas did. They
retconned the whole thing.
So they had like Patrick
Dempsey.
Duffy.
Dempsey. Not Dempsey. Not McDreamy.
Patrick Duffy's character died and ratings tanked.
Right.
And so they did a whole season without him, and then they brought him back, and they were just
in
like,
the same idea, right? Where she wakes up.
And she wakes up, and he's just in the shower and taking in. It was like it had all been a dream.
Yeah.
And then it completely screwed up because like they had a spinoff called Knot's Landing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Primetime
soaps, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they had a spinoff called Knot's Landing. And so, like, they had their stories sometimes would interconnect. So when they said that last season was all a dream, they completely screwed up Knot's Landing because they're like, but we had stories that interconnected with your dream.
Nope. Totally dream.
What does that make us?
A dream.
You know, like,
all
whoops.
A dream.
Yeah. So, old timey TV.
I do, man. Like, so you don't get, like, primetime soaps. I guess they're just dramas now.
Yeah, like they're not is like overtly soapy, but what's Grey's Anatomy?
No, that's very true.
You know,
yeah,
what was ER?
ER, yeah.
You know, and I think it
this
was
is Us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just
not to downplay what the quality of the show.
No, I think this last season has been a little but those first 2-3 seasons of This Is Us,
cuz they got rid of Milo,
were great.
Yeah.
You know.
No Milo.
Yeah, I mean, he's still on there, but like
I've never seen the show.
He's still on there. They still use him all the time. But the problem was is that like those.
Did you say Pete Petrelli?
Yeah.
Well done. Okay.
The storylines were so based around like, oh, what happened? Like what? Like why isn't he alive anymore?
Right.
That once they kind of solve that, now they're trying to come up with reasons to keep.
Oh.
And it's like, and they keep doing these storylines where the kids are like, I didn't know that about my dad.
Yeah.
And then also all the other storylines are about how close they were with their dad.
Sure.
So like, you can't have it both ways. You can't keep having multiple revelations that he kept from you. That, you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
So it's
I knew
like,
my dad so well. Wait, what?
Right. Yeah. It's like when, you know, and like How I Met Your Mother ran into this. Like when you're in season one and you're like, you know, a character's telling somebody like, oh, here's a character from my past that you've never met. Okay, but when you're 9 seasons in,
right,
and you're doing that, you're like, how have you never known that? How
right. Are you not friends anymore? Like,
right,
what are we doing
here? So anyway, there, I guess that's your box
there
office
you
report. And then I guess I say thank you, Tom.
And you're so, welcome, Tom.
Yeah. So I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Brad. You can find me on ReviewSTL.com.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on ReviewSTL. Follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com. Facebook.com.
I got you too.
I know. The internet should work that way. Yeah. Facebook.com. Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Yeah. And you can also find the show at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers or at Apple Podcasts where you can rate, review, subscribe. Don't forget our Patreon at Patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So that's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle Aladdin. Until then, you've been warned. Prince Ali, fabulous.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.